Philo Torah Zum Shiur Yom Revi'i Wednesday, the third day of Hanukkah. It's always funny that once you light candles, you sort of think it's already the next day, but it's not. Tonight is that night, corresponding to December 17th. Let's do Tehillim, and then we'll get busy. Kuf Nun, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, El Bekocho, Hallelujah, Birakia Uzo, Hallelujah, Begvurotav, Hallelujah, Kirov, Gudlo, Hallelujah, Beteka Shofar, Hallelujah, Benevel, Bechinor, Hallelujah, Betof, Umachol, Hallelujah, Beminim, Ugov, Hallelujah, Betzilzalei Shama, Hallelujah, Betzilzalei Teruah, Kol Hanashama, Tahalleluyah, Hallelujah. Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir la ma'alot esoy nai el heharim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim va'oretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha Adonai tzilecha al yad yaminecha. Yomam ha'shemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai Yishmorcha mikol ra Yishmor et nafshecha, Adonai Yishmor tzeitecha uvalecha me'ata v'yad olam. Kuf Lamed. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim kraticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tehiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yah Adonai mi'ya'amod. Ki imecha haslicha lema'an tivorei. Kiviti Adonai kibeta nafshi velidvaro hothalti. Nafshi ladonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai kim Adonai hachesed vaharbeimo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mi kol avonotav. Mark.
Mishaberach Avosenu Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov, who Yivarech Eschael Eitz V'Hagan, Oli Yisrael, V'Sanchei Kochot HaBitachon, Ha'omedim Amishmar Artinu V'Areol Eloheinu, V'Halochamim Ba'adenu, Min HaLavanon V'Amidbar Mitzrayim, Min Hayam HaGadol Ad Loh Arava, U'chol Makom Shehem, V'Yavasha Ba'avir V'Yam, Yitein Adonai Esayavinu Akamim Aleinu, Nigafim Lifneihem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishmor Yatzil Eschayalinu, Mikol Tzara V'Tzuka, Mikol Nega Machala, Yishlach Barachava Asachah B'chol Ma'aseh Yedehem, Yadber son enu takehem the atarim befeser Yeshua uvateras nitzachon the kuyam behem hakasuv ki Adonai Elohechem haolech imachem lilachem lachem imoyerechem lahoshia eschem v'nomar amen.
Amen. We'll do Achenu with Kavana for the return of the last hostage body and for everybody that finds himself in Tzara. Afela and Shibud. Achenu kol Beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya haomedim bein bayam bein bayabasha uvein baavir hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara liyirvacha umeafela laora umishibud legeula hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Okay, folks. over many, many, many years of teaching, one of my favorite tools, which I don't think about, it's just natural for me, is mushal, analogy. And earlier today, a new one popped into my head to make a point. The analogy is between socks and a toy. I want you to imagine when you were a little kid and somebody, a grandparent, aunt and uncle, whatever, came. The difference in your reaction when the gift was a toy that you were very excited about or a very nice, cute pair of socks. I don't know if you had that experience, but some of my children remember certain people who liked giving socks. as opposed to some nice toy or a children's book. The reaction that a person has depends on what the gift represents to him. Maybe it's not a good analogy, and I'll show you why, even though I didn't tell you the nimshel yet. Maybe I'm thinking in terms not of socks and not of a toy, but something that the person doesn't really recognize or know well. Then let's make up an example. A calculator. A calculator, a person can say, been there, did it, have a calculator, have a nicer looking calculator with more digits than this one. It's what I need another calculator for. Until you are shown or you read the booklet that it comes with, and you find out that this calculator also plays 35 different games. Then the appreciation is on a different level. The thank you is on a different level. What am I driving at here? I think a lot of our, meaning the Jewish people's reaction to Hanukkah has to do with an appreciation of what it is and what it represents and what it triggered and what it signaled. And that's not the same for everybody. I could tell some people, as a result of the victory of the Hashmonaim, we were able to learn Torah without fear and do it in public and have classes and have shiurim. And some people will say, big deal. And others will get very excited about it. We can say that imagine, which is very hard to imagine, imagine public, not even public, Shmirat Shabbat or Brit Milah, as I mentioned in the past, or any observance of mitzvot that you had to do in secret or give it up. And the victory of the Hashmonaim and what happened after that allowed you to do these mitzvot without fear. And again, some people will say, big deal. And others will say, oh, that's a very meaningful for me. Now, if you look at Purim and the goal of Haman was to destroy every man, woman, and child, the nation of Mordechai, and we were saved from that. Everybody will agree, except the suicidal person, but everybody will agree that that was a good thing and will celebrate accordingly. But when the victory means on different levels things to different people, the celebration might be different in the feelings that a person puts into it. That's the general picture. But now let's look at Tachlis. I told you, and you know before, the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles is one candle per household for 8 nights. That means a family of five people on the third night of Hanukkah would light one single candle. That evolved into, especially for Ashkenazim, lighting your own Chanukiah. So the five people in the family, which is a husband, wife, and three children, let's say, besides the question as to whether a wife continues lighting or not, there are opinions on both sides, but let's say she does also, which means, not counting the Shamus that lights the candles, on the fifth, on the third night, you're talking about 15 candles instead of
There are more classes?
that.
Well, that's this morning.
That is a hiddur mitzvah, an enhancement of the mitzvah, above and beyond normal hiddur. I'll explain that in a moment. But everybody took it. I don't know anyone who said, eh, you know, Hanukkah's okay, but I would rather go back to one candle each night for the whole household. Look, there are people who don't light any candles, but I don't know if there are people who dismissed the hiddur, the mahadrim aspects of Hanukkah candles, and went back to lighting only a single candle each night. What I meant before about this is above the norm for hiddur. I heard this example from you know who I listen to on Wednesday mornings, Rabbi Breidowitz, but he mentioned something interesting. He says you go by an etrog, and they have different money categories. Here are the 50 shekel etrogim, here are the 75, and here are the 100s. If you look in the 50s and you find a kosher esrog, which you will, then that's the requirement of the mitzvah. It's not the most beautiful esrog. The shape is a little asymmetrical, or the color is not, you know, really eye-catching. So if you are motivated to hiddur mitzvah, the norm not requires, the norm suggests one third of the value to add. In other words, I use 50, so I have a difficulty with one third there, but I think we could work it out. 50 shekel to go to a 75 shekel etrog. Could be nice, but you're adding half. Or you could say, let's say the 25 that you're adding is one third of the whole 75 compared to the 50. So that would be nice. Here's a more beautiful esrog at 100. You have no obligation, no suggestion, because there's a limit as to what halacha or minhag, expects us to add for hiddur mitzvah. So you don't have to take the 100. Do I have to take the 75? No, if the 50 is kosher, you'll find something there and it's kosher. But it's a nice thing to enhance the performance of a mitzvah up to a third. When it came to Hanukkah, now, even though the price of candles don't match the price of etrogim, but the regular requirement in the example I gave you of a family of five on the third night was one candle, and they are mahader to light 15 candles. And you have a family of 10 on the eighth night, we're talking 80 candles instead of one candle. That's a blown out of proportion hiddur, but it belongs on Hanukkah because there is a correspondence, not an accurate, exact correspondence, but there is what goes hand in hand with the mitzvah of Hanukkah is the appreciation of what was accomplished with the Hanukkah story. I don't know if anybody looks at a lulav and esrog that way. Lulav and esrog you look at as a mitzvah from the Torah, and I want to do it nicely. But it doesn't come along with this realization that Judaism, Torah Judaism, was in jeopardy of being lost. We're talking about the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Yes, there were places in Chutz Laaretz that might have survived, But Judaism would have been seriously damaged. Not only that, the Hashmonaim didn't even have all of Bnei Israel, all of the Jews on their side. They had tremendous opposition. What are you guys, crazy? You want to keep Shabbos? Do it in your basement. Don't bring it out in public and get us into trouble. Okay, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. They took it over and they're offering pigs on the Mizbeach and they put a house of prostitution in the Beit HaMikdash. These are terrible things, but I don't want to make waves. So it depends on how much you realize and appreciate in the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us with the military victory and what I call that rubber stamp of the miracle of the oil, and what it means from here on in. It can't be business as usual. Now, I used the example the other day. We hear stories every so often of a mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, all the way back 500 years, who still lights candles in her basement on Friday, doesn't even know that she's Jewish because she comes from Anusim, the ones who are outwardly vowed towards Christianity and secretly kept Jewish. But you don't have to do that anymore. When they learn that you're Jewish and you don't have to do that anymore, hopefully they light candles like normal people. But there's something very special about this. Now add the dimension of Pirsumei Nisa. Pirsumei Nisa doesn't exist in, again, Lulav and Esrog or Sukkah or Matzah. You don't have to do anything that publicizes the performance of those mitzvot. With Hanukkah candles, a very significant part of the mitzvah is to make it public. That's not a coincidence. That's not an accident. That's based upon the fact that you had an entire population of people who had been oppressed for years, especially the last 3 years before the Hanukkah story, who either gave up mitzvot or went into hiding to do these mitzvot and would have been oblivious of the victory had the Hashmonaim not made it very publicly displayed. So when we say at the end of Al Hanisim,
They drive me crazy.
when we say at the end of Al Hanisim, "V'hidliku neirot b'chatzrot kodshecha," there's a serious question of whether that's talking about lighting the menorah of the Beit HaMikdash, because that was inside. The menorah was not in the chatzer. But "hidliku neirot b'chatzrot kodshecha" could have been, according to some shitot, torches that were lit. And basically, to say to all people who could see this, and they could see it from far, that things are different. It's a public announcement. And we need to perpetuate that idea by lighting in a conspicuous place. I mentioned this Chanukiah that I have, which I got very cold fingers this morning setting it up because it was cold outside. Mark, you know what that means? Oh, yeah, you're from other places originally.
I remember it.
But this is the most public place I have. Street traffic, walkers as well as cars see that. The one at my door, very few people outside of my household see it. So I ended up doing both, which introduces another concept, which is definitely not as severe in our time as it was way back when. And again, it's unique to Hanukkah. The person's going to be away. Let's say a person's invited to a Hanukkah party or dinner at somebody's house. He could be Yotze there, leaving his house without a Chanukiah lit. When he gets home, skip that for a second. When a person doesn't have a Chanukiah lit in the window or in a box outside the apartment, the home, there, in addition to not doing Pirsumei Nisa, there is a concept called Cheshad. A person will pass by and say, "This is weird. No Hanukkah lights in this window, but they always have it. What, did they stop lighting?" Now, I think that's weird, so I really shouldn't have even told you about it, because usually a person will see no Hanukkah lights, they'll say they must be away, which is fine. So let me apply it to a different thing. And this is not a requirement by halacha, but I'm just sharing it with you because I share a lot of things with you. In my home, our home, I light at the door outside. Debbie lights in the kitchen at the window, which faces another exposure. I light at a back mirror peset, which is seen by still other people from a different direction, and I light in the street. Now, that's definitely excessive. That's definitely not required. But I want that no matter where a person walks by my apartment, he'll see Hanukkah lights. Because of the publicizing of what the victory meant, not just that there was a victory that you could commemorate, but it's an ongoing thing. Every time you attend a shir, every time you learn Torah, every time you keep Shabbos, every time you keep kosher, you need in the back of your mind, and once in a while bring it up front, to appreciate both the human beings, the Hashmonaim, as well as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Hanukkah. Different time of year, we'll say the same thing about thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thanking Mordechai and Esther for that. But this is like an ongoing thing. Yes, we thank God that we came out of Mitzrayim, and we do that all the time also, and that he gave us the Torah, and we do that every day. So it's really not just a Hanukkah thing, but it's a Jewish thing. I know that, I don't know, I don't know if it came out as significant as I had hoped, but let's move on. I want to talk about Friday night, and I want to talk about Motzoei Shabbat. The first Shabbat, if you look behind me, get out of the way. You have three Sifrei Torah. One of them has Hanukkah candles above it. Let's start with this one. One of them has Shabbos candles on it, and that represents the first Torah when we read Parshat HaShavua, Miketz. We don't call seven people to that Torah. We call only six, but we finish the Sedra by combining Shishi and Shvi'i together, in order that in the second Torah, there is a little beginning crescent of the moon. Second Torah reading is for Shabbat Rosh Chodesh. That's Shvi'i. Usually Shabbat Rosh Chodesh laning would be Maftir, but when there are three Torahs, the Rosh Chodesh one is Shvi'i. And then you have the one, there are six candles up there, just not counting the Shamus, on that Torah scroll, and that represents the Maftir, which is about the sixth day's Nasi, giving his gifts to the dedication of the Mikdash, of the Mizbeach. And those are the three leanings that we have this Shabbos. Now, Friday, I was going to say universal, almost universal custom, meaning Ashkenazim and Sfardim and Edot Mizrach, but not Yemenites, or not all Yemenites, is to light Hanukkah candles before Shabbos candles, even though, by the rule of Tadir, Vishaeno Tadir, Tadir Kodem, that when you have two mitzvot to do at the same time, you do the more common one first. That would be Shabbos candles. In the case of lighting on Friday, Hanukkah candles go first because Chazal did not want to institute a weekday activity like lighting fire after you light candles, even though it's not Shabbos yet. And here's where we get a little tricky. Ashkenazi women over centuries have accepted upon themselves that when they light Shabbos candles, unless they make a Tanai, that's Kabbalat Shabbat. So for them, they wouldn't be able to light candles, Hanukkah candles, after Shabbos candles, unless they would make a Tanai. A man or anyone else in the home who's not yet accepting Shabbat, and Sephardi women do not when they light candles, would have no problem lighting Shabbos candles and then Hanukkah candles, except we don't do that because it's like a slap in the face to Shabbos candles. The mood of Shabbos is supposed to be inaugurated with the lighting of Shabbat candles. So it just was not acceptable to light Hanukkah candles after it, even though Tadir, Visheinu Tadir, says light Shabbos candles first. And Hanukkah candles should be lit as close to sunset as possible. And if you light them after Shabbos candles, when it's still not Shabbos yet, that makes it closer to sunset than lighting them before, which is what we do. So there's a little logical problem there, but that's the overwhelming maskana, conclusion, that you light Hanukkah candles shortly before Shabbos candles. In Yerushalayim, as I've mentioned and written, there is a well-established practice, which not everybody does, and that is to delay Shabbos candles by about 20 minutes, which brings it to the norm of 20 minutes before sunset, and light Hanukkah candles right before then, so that you are lighting candles, Hanukkah candles, before Shabbos candles still, but everything is a little closer to sunset than we usually do in Yerushalayim. Outside of Yerushalayim, when candle lighting for Shabbos is 18 minutes, 20 minutes, or 22 minutes before sunset, you don't play around with that time. You keep faithfully to candle lighting time. You light Hanukkah candles shortly before then. And this includes when the woman of the house lights Shabbos candles and does not light a Chanukiah, and other people don't light Shabbos candles and only light Chanukiah, you still keep it in that order. Hanukkah candles first, then Shabbos candles, because of the atmosphere and the mood after Shabbos candles, if not the acceptance of Shabbos. When it comes to Motzoi Shabbos, you have a little bit more fun in the dispute. And we've done this in the past, and it needs to be repeated. I would say if you take a survey of Hanukkah candle lighting Jews around the world, you will find the overwhelming majority, more than that, almost, I don't know, 95%. 95% of all Hanukkah candle lighting people say Havdalah first and then light Hanukkah candles. And that is reasonable and logical, except for something, which we'll get to in a moment. It's reasonable because Tadir Visheinu Tadir, What you do more frequently goes first. And that would mean Havdalah first, followed by Hanukkah candles. Furthermore, there are people, women especially, who don't necessarily daven Ma'ariv on Motzoei Shabbat. And for them, Havdalah is what ends Shabbat. And then after Shabbat is over, you get to the next order of business, which is Hanukkah candles. Even if you want to recognize that saying Baruch HaMavdil or davening Ma'ariv with Atah Chanantonu ends Shabbat, there is still the feeling that Shabbat spirit, at least, is not leaving until Havdalah. And therefore, there are many shittot that say you do Havdalah first and then Hanukkah candles. In fact, the Maharal of Prague, I use him as an example only because he argues passionately that Havdalah has to go first. No way, no how, even though Shabbos is over, no way, no how to formalize the lighting of candles for Hanukkah before you say Havdalah. It's not a matter of Chilul Shabbat. If it would be, then everyone would agree you can't light Hanukkah candles when it's still Shabbat. It's after Shabbat, you daven Ma'ariv, you said Atah Chanantonu, or you said Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. It's not Shabbos anymore. And yet the Maharal was adamant that there's no way that you could institutionalize and formalize the lighting of Hanukkah candles before you say Havdalah. And I've said this in contrast. Phone rings, you haven't heard Havdalah yet, say Baruch HaMavdil and answer the phone. You need to start the dishwasher going before you get to Havdalah because people are not home from shul yet. Say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol and start the dishwasher. But not formalize the lighting of Hanukkah candles before Havdalah. That's the shita of many. But to me, the Maharal is the one who is passionate about it. Then comes the Vilna Gaon, and he is equally passionate that candle lighting for Hanukkah goes before Havdalah. So you challenge that by saying, well, wait a minute, what happened to Tadir v'sheino Tadir? Havdalah is more common, frequent than Hanukkah candles. True. And the guideline for Tadir is when you have two mitzvot that have an equal insistence on doing them now. And with that, you can argue the following. Havdalah, the way I like to put it, is laid back. Havdalah says you don't have to rush. Yes, you daven Ma'ariv and Shabbos is over, but take your time. If you're singing a few more songs, you ran out for Ma'ariv, you came back to your table and whatever. Havdalah does not insist on being immediately at the conclusion of Shabbat. In fact, there are sources who say one should not let it look like Shabbat is a burden that you're trying to get rid of. Case in point would be Yontif, Yom Tov on Motzoei Shabbat. We do the weird thing of combining Kiddush and Havdalah, and Kiddush goes first. Kiddush for Saturday night, Sunday, Yom Tov goes, and then Havdalah for Shabbat goes. Why? Because Havdalah does not want you, so to speak, to project that Shabbat is a burden that you're trying to get rid of. Take your time. It's Yom Tov. Welcome the Yom Tov first. Then you'll say Havdalah. It's done on the same cup of wine, and it's done with a candle. So the Maharal people will say, hey, that's not a fair argument, because you're talking about Kiddush, which sanctifies, and you're talking about overlapping the sanctity of Yom Tov with the sanctity of Shabbat that you're stretching till Havdalah. That's very nice. But saying Kiddush is certainly not at all like lighting candles. Lighting candles is about the most vachadik thing you could do. And again, the Maharal will say, can't be before Havdalah. But the Vilna Gaon will say, wait, Shabbos is over. That's a given. Once Shabbos is over, you have one mitzvah that says, do me now, because you should have done me a half an hour ago. But you couldn't because it was Shabbos. Don't waste any more time. Do it now.
Sounds like he's the first cousin.
As opposed to, who said that? As opposed to Havdalah, which says, it's okay, take your time, I'm not in a rush. Candles for Hanukkah are in a rush. And I told you anecdotally, they tell the story that somebody came to the Vilna Gaon late, missed Maariv and Shul. He said to the Vilna Gaon, which I sort of am jealous of him because he could ask his Shaila to the Vilna Gaon. I think that's kind of cool. He said to the Vilna Gaon, I didn't have Maariv yet. What should I do now? He says, say Baruch HaMavdil, light Chanukah candles, and then daven Maariv. Ad kedei kach. Nobody does that formally, although many minyanim will start 10 minutes or 15 minutes earlier for Maariv than they do on a regular Motzoei Shabbat in order to facilitate lighting Chanukah candles as soon as possible. Now, when I came, I did not know this, or I never learned it well or whatever, until I came to Israel to live in Yerushalayim. And I'm talking about 44 years ago, and I am confronted by the fact that Minhag Yerushalayim, based on the Vilna Gaon, is to do Hanukkah candles before Havdalah. And I went through the process of saying, really? How could that be? What happened to Tadir? What happened to Shabbos? And it was explained to me like I tried to explain it to you. So now I had to ask a different question. If that attracts me, if I like that idea, who do we paskin like? That's the first question. And with this issue of what goes first, Havdalah or Hanukkah candles, you have a kind of rare conclusion, a rare maskana. Shulchan Aruch says, De'avad kimar avad, u'de'avard kimar avad. If you do like this first opinion, that's okay. And if you do like this opinion, the second opinion, that's okay. Take your pick. Once halacha says, take your pick, now I get to the second question. Which one speaks to me more? I told you already, and you could probably figure it out. What speaks to me more is Hanukkah candles first. Then comes the question, what about my family's minhag? So at the time, my father was still alive, and I asked his permission for me to change because I wanted to start lighting Hanukkah candles before Havdalah. And he gave me permission. Had he not, I don't know. I don't think a regular parent would not give permission for that if you explain. So that became an issue for Motzoi Shabbat Chanukah. And again, I say it could be as much as 95% of the people anywhere in the world will do Havdalah first and then Chanukah candles. 5% will do Chanukah candles first. In Yerushalayim, the numbers are very different. In Yerushalayim, the numbers could be 80% and 20, or 75 and 25. If you don't know these numbers, then you can make them up on your own. But What I mean to say is, it's more common in Yerushalayim to light Hanukkah candles before Havdalah, but there's still loads of people who don't do that. And I don't know if it's up to like 75-25 or it's more 60-40 or even 50-50. I don't know. Now, there's another factor here. If you light indoors, it's pretty much a toss-up. Do whichever your custom is, your family says, or you decide and do it properly. Outdoors, there's a higher priority to lighting Hanukkah candles before Havdalah. And because lighting outdoors is more like once upon a time, a long time ago. And for that, we have to be sensitive to the fact that for a very, very long period of exile, we're talking 1950 years more, since we're scattered after Churban Bayit Sheni, when it became very, very common to light indoors, and Pirsumei Nisa was redefined as being in your home, and the lighting at a window so that some people can see was almost secondary to that. Once upon a time, it was the thing. Lighting at your door, outside the door, you don't see it. Of course, you see it when you light, but then you go inside to close the door and you don't see it. When you light indoors, you could be sitting at a dinner table and you look up, and there on the windowsill, you see the lights still on. So the lighting outdoors, which was the original practice, was mostly for publicizing the miracle to others. You publicize it to yourself and to your family by saying, She'asa nisim la'avoteinu bayomim ha'ayim bezman hazeh, and Haneirot Hallelu, and Ma'oz Tzur, and then you go inside and you're not in sight of your candles. And that was not considered a problem. But when it came indoors, it was much more of an internal kind of thing. And therefore, there was less of a necessity to light it right away. And that's why indoors, you could follow the Da'avad Kamar Avad or Da'avad Kamar Avad. Take your pick, which one. Outdoors, there seems to be a preference to lighting Hanukkah candles before Havdalah. But the most important thing is to be absolutely certain that Shabbos is over on the clock, meaning stars out, and that it's over for you. Because you either said Atah Chananton at Ma'ariv, or you said Baruch HaMavdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol. Only then is Shabbos over, and that's when you can begin the process of lighting Hanukkah candles, or Havdalah first, whichever you choose. Or, it's funny to say, here's a halacha, here's a machloket, take your choice. With the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 candles, or 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 of Beit Shammai, you don't have a choice. There, machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, halacha k'Beit Hillel, period. You can't argue to say, you know what, I heard a very nice explanation as to why Beit Shammai said 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Can I do that? The answer is no, you can't. But in the case of Havdalah first or Hanukkah candles first on Motzoi Shabbos Hanukkah, you have that unusual, not totally rare, but definitely not unique, but rare, halachic conclusion of whichever one you do, you have valid support for that opinion. And that becomes a factor. Now, especially for those who do Hanukkah candles first on Motzoi Shabbos before Havdalah, but for everybody, there's another factor. And that is, how long does it take you to set up for Motzoi Shabbos candle lighting, Hanukkah candle lighting. Now picture this year, six candles Friday night, and then they burn out sometime in the middle of the night, and the next evening, Idav Meiriv, it's after Shabbos. What do you have to do? You have to remove the oil cups and put in new ones, or clean out the candles that dripped and put in new candles for the seventh night. It takes time. If it's oil with wicks, it's going to take more time than you realize to do it well, because when you fill an oil cup and then put in a wick and try to light it, it's not going to light nicely. It needs time to absorb oil. And therefore, my suggestion, not just mine, the suggestion is that we should prepare as much as possible before Shabbos for a quick lighting on Motzoi Shabbat. Now, with six candles on Friday night, the only way to do that is to have either another Chanukiah ready to go for Motzoi Shabbos, or at least have, if you buy these packages of 44 little oil cups already with a wick holder and a wick, have them right near where your Chanukiah is. It shouldn't take a long time to take out the six cups and toss them out and put in the seven new ones and a Shamus and light as soon as you can. But now, forgetting the details, what this says, why am I making such a point out of this? Because that's the nature of Hanukkah. You either are thrilled and delighted and excited by what Hanukkah meant and means, or you don't care that much. In other words, what I've been saying since the beginning, and then I switched into more of a practical detail thing. But the point that I was making in the beginning is that one's enthusiasm to these mitzvot, to this mitzvah, matches, should match the understanding and realization of how significant and how miraculous the victory of the Hashmonaim and the miracle of the oil were and what they accomplish. I go back to socks. As cute as the socks are, kid on his birthday at a certain age was hoping for a nice toy. And the socks are practical. I like that, but it's not, I have to polish it. But anyway, the feeling that you get when you light the candles, when you see the candles lit, when you make the brachot before you light, when you sit down to play dreidel, when you read a Dvar Torah about Chanukah, it's not just a physical activity that you're doing with your hands, and it's not just a mental process of kavana. It needs to involve your heart and your soul. So, before you say the bracha, I've never seen a hineni muchon umezuman, which is interesting. I would have thought that there would be. Maybe some people have a version of that. But right before you make.
There is. I've got a few, there's a whole bunch of things to say.
Before?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll send you a snapshot, a screenshot of it or whatever.
Okay. Anyway, before you make that first bracha, to have kavana, technically, that the first candle you light is the mitzvah, that the other candles that you light are hidur of mitzvah, that the whole thing is rabbinic, backed up by Torah law. But then you get more than just the details of the halacha. You get into the concept that this was a very significant, happening in Jewish history, which has ramifications all the way through till this very day. And the situation that we're living in also, you know, there are people who continue to travel to England, and they said, last time I was in England, I wore my kippah proudly. Now I have a cap because I don't want to get beat up in the street. And people say that in New York even. So it's an ongoing process. We need another Hanukkah and another Hanukkah and another Hanukkah type of salvation from this crazy anti-Semitism that is hurting a lot of people, a lot of our people. I want to get back to the Hidur concept. The Pasuk in Shirat Hayam, Ze Keli Va'anvehu. This is my God, and I will beautify him. Became the source of doing mitzvot, not just Hanukkah, but all mitzvot, in a more beautiful way. Technically, I can take a strip of aluminum foil and melt candles down onto it so they stand straight up and light candles in fulfillment of Hanukkah. Having a Chanukiah depends. If you have children or grandchildren that are in Gan and they made you a Chanukiah, then you sort of have no choice. But if you have your own choice, there are Chanukiot and there are Chanukiot. You could get one for 10 shekel, sheet of metal bent a little bit, and candle holders, and you can spend money and more money and more money and more money on a beautiful Chanukiah. So there are people who have a silver Chanukiah, and there are people who have crystal glass Chanukiah, and a very fancy ceramic Chanukiah. All of that is Hidur mitzvah. Ze keli ve'anvehu, it's beautifying a mitzvah. The candles themselves, if you use wax candles, and by the way, I mentioned the Maharal Miprag, he was totally opposed to wax candles, but that's because in his day they sputtered and were not reliable. They gave off sparks, so he said you can't use it. But today, obviously, it's not only used, it's a very beautiful, clear, clean flame. And sometimes it works better than people's oil Chanukiot do. And maybe it's preferable, unless you really get the oil thing down. But candles have decorations on them, pretty colors on them. And I used to think, you know, just kids, they'll say, well, I want a red one here and a yellow one here and a blue one there and a green one there. But that's part of beautifying a mitzvah also. And have little tiny oil cups. No, this year I want a Chanukiah, which has bigger oil cups so that they'll last not just till 7 o'clock, but they'll go to 8 or 9 o'clock. I mentioned last week that, or the other day, that maximum that satisfies the rule, the most you need to satisfy the rule would be to light whenever you light, and it should go till 6:30, or a half an hour if you light too late. 6:30, I came up with that time because Rabbeinu Tam, who's a late Tzeta Kochavim person, and this is a half an hour or more after his time. And the Sfarim do not say you need to have candles that burn all night, but they do say they should burn a little longer than usual, meaning than you were used to in the old days, because the longer they burn at the beginning of the night, we'll say, the more Pirsume Nisa is, because there are people who abound in the street. Comments or questions? I actually
made... You relight them.
Say again?
You relight them.
What does that mean?
So they've lasted 2.5 hours or something. You want to put some more oil in and let them go a bit longer.
No, I think if it's
But
after,
half
clearly after
time,
a half hour.
after the time, it's 9 o'clock in the evening, but one's still going, so you'd like to have the other still going as well. You add more oil.
Not necessary. There are people, by the way, myself included, who when I have oil left in a cup, I put it into a larger paper cup or container, coffee cup, and I wait till after Hanukkah is over and I take it out and let it burn rather than pouring it down the sink or something like that or into the garbage.
Supposed to burn the wick away, aren't you? You're
I do that
supposed to
with
do.
wicks. I do that with wicks, and I do that with even the matches that I use to light. Any other comments or questions? If not, I will wish you, let's see, what's the proper order? Shabbat Shalom.
Bill, Rochelle here. I have a
Even
question, if I may.
though it's already Hanukkah and it's not yet Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh, but we'll keep it in the order of the Sifrei Torah for
I,
Shabbat.
Phil, can I ask a question, please?
Of course, Rochelle.
I don't know if you spoke about it and I missed it, but my question is, what about blowing out the candles? If enough time has gone by, if you're leaving the house and you're them,
Okay,
you have to
the
touch on
answer
before.
is you need to make a tanai when you light them that you're going to do that. It can't be an afterthought. In other words, if you lit candles without making a tanai, you have to let them burn. If you know that you're going away to a family thing or whatever, and you say, I'm lighting them now, it's 4:45, 5 o'clock, whatever, at 6 o'clock, 6:30, whatever, I intend to blow them out, you're allowed to do that.
Avanti, what if the Eved?
Mean if you
No.
didn't make it tonight?
You didn't make it tonight.
As far as I know, it's
You
wrong to blow them
have
out if you didn't make
to
it tonight. And if you make it tonight, the oil can be used. If you have oil that survived, you can't use it. Not that you would for a salad, because it already became connected to the mitzvah. But if you make it tonight, then that's doable.
On the other hand, you can add the next day to the oil from the day before. It's not going to be wasted.
Yeah, I don't think that that's
Am I wrong?
using oil that's from a Hanukkah candle for a Hanukkah candle is not the same thing as using it for something else.
Okay, so if you were to blow it out and then reuse the oil the next day, I mean, I admit that lechatchila, your idea of like make a knife if you haven't.
Yeah, well, if you're talking about it,
You
then
don't stand there and
it
wait for
happens,
them
does
to go out, do you?
it? Yeah.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm just saying, now that I brought up the topic of Tanai, then if you need to do it, do it.
Right.